A reading from the Old Testament, from the Hebrew Bible, is from Isaiah 11. A green shoot from Jesse's stump will shoot from his roots a budding branch. The life-giving God, Spirit of God, will hover over him. The Spirit that brings wisdom and understanding. The Spirit that gives direction and builds strength. The Spirit that instills the knowledge and fear of God. Fear of God will be all his joy and delight. He won't judge by appearances, won't decide on the basis of hearsay. He will judge the needy by what is right, render decisions on earth's poor with justice. His words will bring everyone to awed attention, to awed attention. A mere breath from his lips will topple the wicked. Each morning he'll pull on sturdy work clothes and boots and build righteousness and faithfulness in the land. A living knowledge of God, the wolf will run with the lamb. The leopard sleep with the kid. Calf and lamb will eat from the same trough. And a little child will tend them. Cow and bear will graze the same pasture. Their calves and cubs grow up together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will crawl over rattlesnake dens. The toddler stick his hand down the hole of a serpent. Neither animal nor human will hurt or kill on my holy mountain. The whole earth will be brimming with knowing God alive, a living knowledge of God, ocean deep, ocean wide. On that day, Jesse's root will be raised high, posted as a rallying banner for the peoples. The nations will all come to him. His headquarters will be glorious. A reading from Psalm 85. Listen, O people, in the silent chapel of your heart, and the beloved will speak of peace to you. To the hidden saints, to all who turn their hearts to love. Surely new life is at hand for those who reverence love. Oh, that harmony might dwell among the nations. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will embrace one another. Wisdom will spring up from the ground, and truth will look down from the sky. Yes, the eternal giver will grant what is good, and the lands will yield abundantly. Mercy and compassion are love's way. You will guide our footsteps upon the path of peace, as we recognize with open hearts that you are our peace. Amen.
The epistle reading today is from Romans 15. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way that Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus. And the gospel reading is from Matthew 3. While Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John, called the Baptizer, was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. John and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John dressed in a camel hair habit, tied at the waist by a leather strap. He lived on a diet of locusts and wild field honey. People poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordanian countryside to hear and see him in action. There at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life. When John realized that a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do, he exploded. Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as a father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it goes in the fire. The word of the Lord.
So we're in the second Sunday of Advent, and Advent is all about watching and waiting, imagining and dreaming. The colors of Advent are purple and deep blue. Right over there, you can see it. For some, these colors reflect the color of autumn's night, lit by moon and the stars. The days are short and the nights are long. The moon is called, traditionally, the cold moon. In the old English Anglo-Saxon name, it was the moon before Yule. These long nights are fertile ground for dreaming and imagining the Advent themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. Last Sunday, Anne taught about hope with its emphasis on keeping awake and living in expectation. Next week, we explore the theme of joy with Marcia. This Sunday, the theme is peace, with its dream of harmony as a peaceable kingdom. In today's scripture reading, Isaiah announces the coming of the Prince of Peace to the Hebrew people as a shoot coming out of the stump of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and he shall judge by what his eyes see or decide what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. So Paul's epistle reading today extends that branch of Jesse to both Christians and Gentiles. Paul prays for the Romans with the words, God wants the combination of a steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us. May our warmly personal God develop maturity in us so that you get along with each other. We get along with each other, as well as Jesus gets along with all of us. Then we'll be a choir. Not our voices only, but our very lives, singing in harmony in a stunning anthem of God and Father, our Master Jesus. The psalmist writes, at least in the Spanish version, in Psalm 85, that truth and mercy have met together. Peace and justice have kissed. The Gospel of Matthew talks about John the Baptist thundering in the desert about this fire that will ignite the kingdom life and the role of Jesus to make a clean sweep of our lives and into the proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash. So today's scripture announced the good news, coming of God's kingdom, or reign. We remember this coming each Sunday as we say the Lord's Prayer, asking God for the words, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Peace, I think, is much like God's kingdom. It is right here, but not yet. Our human language doesn't have a way to express now and not yet for both heaven and for also peace. Peace is undefinable as God's kingdom or reign. Wikipedia is a little bit more helpful, makes an attempt to define peace as that concept of societal friendship and harmony. In the absence of hostility and violence, in a social sense, peace is commonly used to mean the lack of conflict, such as war, and freedom from fear of violence between individuals and also groups. Though that definition is mostly what peace is not, not necessarily what peace is. The psalmist in Psalm 85 helps us a little bit more with a deeper and fuller description. With the two lines, truth and mercy have met together, and peace and justice have kissed. If we take peace in those two lines as the locus and the focus of this verse, we can construct a view of peace as a space, a place, location of encountering the most messy mix of truth, mercy, and justice. With peace, according to John Paul Lederach, the founder of the Center of Justice and Peace Building at Eastern Menai University, comes the images of harmony, unity, well-being, security, and respect. This list is very similar to the modern psychologist Abraham Maslow and the human needs hierarchy. Peace is a place where there is a feeling and a prevalence of respect to the members of the group. Peace not just for a few, but for the many. In fact, peace only works if it's for everyone. All are included. The streams of truth, mercy, and justice flow into the place of peace to give life to this depth of this peace. A location where the deserts can blossom. With truth, we see each other as we are. Honestly, revelation, clarity, open accountability, and vulnerability. Without truth, peace will never be able to come. However, truth alone leaves us naked, vulnerable, and maybe unworthy. With justice, there comes the powerful image of making things right, creating equal opportunity, rectifying the wrong, and restitution. Without justice, brokenness continues and festers. With mercy, there is a hope of compassion, forgiveness, acceptance, a new start. Mercy is about receiving and giving God's grace. Without mercy, healthy relationships would not be possible. Without compassion and forgiveness, healing and restoration would be out of the question. Yet with mercy alone, peace can be superficial and sometimes cover up the problems by moving too quickly. The streams of truth, justice, and mercy feed into and nourish this peace. With these streams, peace has the space and energy to encourage, strengthen, and protect life in all its fullness. A place where the desert blooms and the mother and child are sheltered. In contemporary terms, peace can be a paradoxical place of messiness that gives rise to interdependence, well-being, and security. Truth can contribute for the longing of acknowledgement of wrong and the validation of painful loss and experiences. Mercy can contribute with an articulation for the acceptance and letting go and a new beginning. Justice can contribute in the search for individuals and groups' needs, rights, and social restructuring. True peace is resilient in both good times and in the bad. In the darkness and the light, in the darkness and the light. Richard Rohr captures this resilience with this thought on Christian wisdom, which names the darkness as darkness, the light as light, and helps us to learn how to live and work in the light so that the darkness does not overcome us. If we have a pie in the sky, everything is beautiful attitude, we're going to be trapped in the darkness because we don't see clearly enough to separate the wheat from the chaff. Conversely, if we could only see the darkness and forget the more foundational light, we will be destroyed by our own negativity and fanaticism. Or we will not naively think we are completely apart from and above the darkness. Instead, we must wait and work with hope inside of the darkness, even our own. While never doubting the light that God always is and that we too are. That's a narrow birth canal, also known as the narrow gate of God into this world, through the darkness and in an ever greater light. It seems we must all let go of our false innocence to find God. In our Isaiah text today, it's curious that the text presents a very innocent metaphorical view of God's peaceable kingdom. The wolf will romp with the lamb, the leopard sleep with the kid, calf and lion will eat from the same trough, and the little child will tend them. Cow and bear will graze in the same pasture. Their calves and cubs grow up together. And the lion eats straw like an ox. The nursing child will crawl over the rattlesnake dens. The toddler will stick his hand down the hole of a serpent. Neither animal nor human will hurt or kill on God's holy mountain. This vision has caught the imagination of many writers and artists over the years, and has been the subject of many idealist paintings and drawings. We often show these pictures to our children as pointing out that the world might be like this someday. Although it is possible that wolves, leopards, lions, bears, oxes, cubs, poison snakes, lambs, kids, cows, calves may someday get together somehow and be briefly nonviolent, it is unlikely to last very long. It's very unlikely that humans, especially in the form of infants, toddlers, and children, would survive long anywhere near most of these animals. It does not make any sense to all to think that children would tend these animals. The lions would eat hay, and the children would play with snakes. How should we take this vision? Is God out to lunch, telling a nice story, or is he speaking to us in a deeper place, maybe beyond reason? After all, peace like heaven may be beyond all understanding. It is just possible that God is saying to us, use your moral imagination. Respond with your whole self, your embodied self, not just your intellect. Call is always about more than you can possibly do alone or do at all. How might you use truth, justice, and mercy to be a creative peace builder in the world? This might be an important call for all of us, remembering that we are not all saints. Someone here said that one time. This thought is comforting for those who have a hard time getting started and even a harder time keeping going in the peace building world. As a peace builder, you often are a bridge, and both sides take turns and even enjoying walking on you. The life of Jesus might be a help here, his effort visioning the dream of God in a world filled with violence and animosity. In other words, it's hard to soar like eagles amongst so many earthbound turkeys. However, Jesus did live in an occupied country where his religious leaders were very threatened by his view of a loving and just God. So much that they orchestrated his own torture and his death. However, Jesus lived his life with both courage and calculation. Jesus cultivated the wisdom of the dove, contending with and displacing the ways of the serpent. Some call this serpent as an evil shape-shifter that adapts to the situation wherever there is good. Evil is a narrative of the lie. Satan in Hebrew terms means the one who accuses falsely. In Greek, it's called diabolos, means the confuser. Handling evil well in its many forms is not easy, especially for us, even on a good day. Nevertheless, because expert serpent handlers is what it takes to be a follower of Jesus. Let's consider ourselves saints in training. We're both saints now and not yet. As we go into our day, let us ponder the future of sainthood with the verse, truth and mercy have met together, peace and justice have kissed. Also remember the Hill Street Views station sergeants. Hey, be careful out there, it's a jungle. The world can be seen as a jungle, and it can also be seen as a peaceful kingdom, at least in our moral imaginations. As we end these thoughts, remember that Jesus said, fear not. In the meantime, Pax Shalom Shalem, until we hear about joy next week. Yeah.